Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie, Bluey and Jars. Weekdays from 6.
Click Keno from only $1 a game. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
What time is it?
Game time!
Get ready for the new look Rush Hour. Andrew Jarman.
Beautiful to Jarman. Bang! Another nail.
Bernie Vince.
Vince, no goal kicker. Brings the house down!
And Greg Blewett.
There it is. A magnificent performance from young Greg Blewett.
Your favourite weekend show you'll now get every afternoon. Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie, Bluey and Jars.
For Trade Zone, Australia's largest online electrical wholesaler. Now open in Parafield. Visit tradezone.com.au.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to your Thursday edition of the Triple M Rush Hour. We are back for another hour and a bit. And it's great to be back on board in these filthy conditions. The rain's on its way. Left nostril has flared and it's going to erupt. Plot thickens in the Stuart McGill kidnapping.
Why are you laughing? That
AFL is serious. Grand Final returned to its traditional time slot, September the 25th. MCG 2:30 will be the first bounce. So thank goodness for common sense. And talk about common sense. Bernie Vince and Greg Blewett, I wish you both well to this show.
Oh, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to you, Jazz. You went missing for 2 days. You got a slap on the wrist from our boss, Matty O, and you're back. So you finished.
It's nice to be back, Jazz.
Yeah. You sooked up, and you haven't put your...
I did sook up.
Yeah, you're talking over me again. I was about to say, oh, there he is. He's put his hand up. No, we got told today we're not allowed to take the piss and not allowed to say anything about that. But now we have. We might as well run.
He said we're not allowed to. Matthew O'Reilly, the program director of Triple M in Adelaide.
Yes.
He is our boss.
Good job.
He what?
He does a great
job.
Oh,
get him. You're a sucker, honestly.
Jeez. I just put my holidays in with Matthew.
Yeah, that's, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right. You're going together, aren't you?
They were talking about going to party together.
The girls are in one room, me and Matty are in the other.
And why do you always hug him after you finish talking to him?
Oh, just an affectionate.
Jeez, you bloody...
Just very affectionate, now, just.
Talking over one another, that's a penalty. Oh.
Bloody, okay. Kidnapping.
Oh, yeah. Good segue.
Whoa. What's the latest? Stewie McGill, former Australian Test cricketer.
Yeah, he found himself in a bit,
some
of,
trouble.
Bit of trouble.
Is
so
he in more trouble?
Out of... Well, I think he's not exactly happy with where he is at in life.
Right in the back of a ute.
Oh, wow.
So we shouldn't make too much fun of it. But, yeah, Stewie sounds like found himself in a car and driven 60 k's to a room. And
a lot of rumours
going on. He was dealt with, apparently.
He was dealt with.
And then he reported it to the police station about 6 days later. But it's fair to say it shook him up a bit, Jars. Oh, so there's a bit going on
there.
A lot
of rumours.
Sure, we'll hear a bit more as the days go on.
Rumours about bikies being...
associated.
Being involved or hired to give him a bit of a rough up. And
so, he got shook up a little bit.
IPL, what's happened?
Yes, so the Australians that are... So the IPL is off because of the bubble was breached, so there's players and staff that have now got COVID, so that is off. Now, apparently, the Australians are leaving India, and they will be either in the Maldives or Sri Lanka until our borders open from India. So that's May 15, and then the IPL will charter those Australians back to Australia.
And what about
nothing to do with our government, so it's no cost involved with Australia or Australian government.
Who pays?
The IPL is... footing the bill for the charter flight. But I don't know what's going to happen with Mike Hussey, who's stuck in India because he's got COVID.
Mm.
So, any other Australians? No, not yet.
No, Daniel Sam's got it at the start, just before the IPL. So,
the Maldives as well. Gee, tough life.
Well, I mean, they mightn't all be, you know, on those the rooms in the middle of the ocean, but I'm not sure what.
But what about
other
those 9,000 Australians who are stranded with families and cannot get home? Do you not consider their situation?
What's it got to do with me?
Well, no, I'm just I'm talking
Bluey,
to you about
why
it.
Haven't you done something about
it? Yeah, Blue.
Hurry up and do something,
Blue. Do an Instagram post.
You're worth how much is he worth?
I'm sure.
I'm telling you now.
I'm sure those 9,000 people are doing their utmost to get home to Australia.
The Australian, I'm telling you now.
So the IPL is flying the Australians home.
I'm telling you right now, the Australian public are turning on these Australian cricketers.
Why?
I'm just telling you.
If they want to do the same thing, they can.
I beg your pardon?
They can do the same thing.
Are they turning on the AFL footballers are getting chartered flights around Australia as well?
I'm only and just dodging telling borders you what and... I read and hear and get phone calls about.
Mate, you're in your own wrong. Little bubble down at Henley
well,
Beach.
I'm not in my own little bubble. God, I'll tell you about a bubble. It's called John. It's right here, my right bloody fist. Let's
yeah,
go,
this is Dez.
What's it called?
Dez.
Dez who?
Dez and Troy.
Destroy.
I'll take you down, son.
Now, Gregory and young Byrne, yeah. Your good mate Jack Watts has come out and he's playing some local footy now, isn't he, young
yes,
Jack?
He is.
He's a terrific young man.
Mm. Good player, Jack.
He's given a rare insight into Kenny Hinkley and how personal differences can impact AFL coaches' game day performances. He spoke about, and he said some nice things about Kenny Hinkley. What makes a very good football coach or a coach in general? And he was very impressed about Kenny, that Kenny's treated me well. He's a good coach. He's a good listener. So I thought I'd just chat to you boys about what do you think makes a very, very good coach in sport?
Have you got the grab or?
No, not at all.
So we're just going off fourth-hand information?
No. It's just a story about Jack Watts talking about Kenny Hinkley. Kenny has got that old-school toughness.
I think he also said in that article that he rated Kenny, but he didn't rate some of his other coaches. So I don't know who he was referring to.
He's had a lot. He has had a lot.
So who would have been at Melbourne?
Oh, he's had – who did he start off with? Mm. Probably Danaher, was it? Back –
Not maybe Neil Danaher, no
yeah,
way.
Yeah, he finished in – Jack Watts was, what, 07 draft or something?
A bit of prep would have gone down well for this break, gents. Just putting
no
it out
idea.
There.
You just yes, thrown something.
He would have had Roosie.
What about Neil?
He definitely had Roosie, yeah.
Neil?
Mark Roosie. Neil Craig took over as interim at one stage. Todd Viney
coached
there.
So there you
go.
He's whacked them.
And then obviously Goody came after that. Mm. So and Goody, then he left the club in Goody's reign. Mm. And then he's had Ken Hinkley. So – I don't know who would be talking about. Maybe Mark Neil, do you reckon?
What makes a good coach these days?
These days, well, they all talk about relationships, don't they? Mm. And it's exactly right. Mm. I mean, you've got to, if you know your players on a deep level, then you can have the really good, hard conversations. Mm. And you've got to get that balance right between being a mate or a friend and being able to, like, you know, stand up and give someone a clip if you can. But it's not easy because, you know, if we're talking about Kenny Hinkley, how many's on an AFL list?
Well, 44.
That's right. And if you want to know 44 players and they're almost like one of your best mates or one of your kids, that takes a hell of a lot of work. Just, you know, being able to keep having those conversations with, and don't forget he's got his staff to look after as well. So that's a lot of work. It sounds easy, but it's definitely not.
Yeah, the balance between serious and fun is important, but
yep.
Coaches these days, they have to be relationship based. You hear that talked about all the time because
spot on.
You want your players playing for you and not themselves, or to get them make themselves better. Because if you play for the team, it's better for the team. But hard but fair. You need to be innovative, I reckon. A good coach you need to be one step ahead of the curve. And
got to read the room.
Read the room. I reckon good coaches, the best ones, are very good. Delegators. You got to delegate to your line coaches or, you know, your staff to do. Because if you try and do everything, the ones that get burnt out real quick are the ones that try and, or they need to see over everything. And some young coaches, I think, fall into that category. They try and look over everything, make sure they're over it because they feel like that's their footy club and they've got to do it. But the best ones, they delegate and they trust the staff underneath them.
And the best leaders, in my opinion, Jars, are the best listeners. You know, they're not just, you know, just telling everyone how it is. They are listening to what information is. So you're coaching at the moment with Williston. What's your biggest challenge?
Well, I've been doing a lot of community coaching in the past, and for me, it's about relationships.
Yeah,
communicating. I think you've got to over communicate with today's players. Good knowledge about the game and where it's at, but also keep it, you know, keep the fundamentals basic. Don't over coach them in social football, and I think you've got to be patient. You don't stop learning. You know, I'm still learning about being a very good coach. But you become a father figure at times.
You're an ear. You're an ear for them.
It's well said.
Falling, aren't
that's
you,
spot on.
You become. You're not just a coach. As you said.
I had a great coach in Michael Noonan back in the '80s at North Adelaide, and he was the best teacher I ever had. And he always said to me, the number one philosophy he had was that you've got to have, as a coach, you've got to have the ability to find talent. So you've got to have the ability to find that talent, and then you have to have the ability to develop that talent as a coach. Mm. He summed it up beautifully, and that's,
Also, another trait is to get quite passionate. And here's an example of that, gentlemen.
But you, remarkably, you turn around at halftime, guys. You know?
Triple M. Give me one of those famous giant beers.
It's that time again on the Rush Hour to have a beer with Bluey.
I love to have a beer with Bluey.
Clean belly, bill of health.
Now, Gregory, before you go into your lovely stories, and they've been fascinating to listen to, you've had a wonderful journey as a former cricketer. Now, as you know, Burns Beef is sponsored.
Mm.
Furious Five is sponsored. Is there any chance
you've been sponsored for a week
by Auto Masters?
How long's that?
No, but at least they've come on. Well, don't go there.
All right.
So beer with Bluey.
I think they're knocking them back. Like there's too many to. I'll get it sponsored. Leave it with me.
Grey Nichols.
Now, good one. Good one. Actually, I've got to do something for them. Now, 2004, 2005, guys. Shield season.
4-5, yep.
South Australia taking on New South Wales
at
the SCG. I won the toss. Elected.
You were captain.
I was captain. I elected to bat.
Oh, no.
We were bowled out for 29.
That's a disgrace.
29.
Did you go so and check the pitch?
Listen, I did my job. And
did you?
I won the toss on a, reasonable pitch. We just, weren't quite able to get through the tough period.
Jeez.
But the guy, I thought we'd get a special guest on today. And the guy ultimately responsible for it was the coach at the time, and his SA cricket legend, Wayne Phillips. And he joins us now. Flipper. Oh, it's still ringing.
Hello, it's Wayne Phillips speaking.
Hello, Wayne Phillips. It's Greg Blewett here.
Greg.
Oh, g'day, Greg.
How are you, mate?
Yeah, Andrew Jarman here. Hello,
Andrew Jarman and Bernie Vince with me as well.
Tim Vince's son.
Now, g'day, Andy. G'day, Bernie.
Andy.
Flip. I just introed the segment saying that I won the toss, elected to bat, so I did my job, then we were bowled out for 29. I'd just love to hear your take on proceedings on that particular day.
Oh, no.
Well, I think I can provide that sort of thing for you, Greg. I mean, it was terrific with your leadership, obviously, and it was just an amazing thing. I mean, our preparation, I thought, for the game was, it had never been better. We knew more about the New South Wales bowlers than they did, knew more about the batsmen than they did, with the dimensions of the Sydney Cricket Ground, so different to that of Phillips Field, Adelaide Oval. Those things that we knew, we could, a couple of young guys in the team, Callum Ferguson, Tommy Plant, never been to the Sydney Cricket Ground before, so we just knew where they'd sit in the change rooms, where the dunnies were, where the lockers, all that sort of stuff. So, as you say, Blue, really enjoying this beer with you, mate. To win that, a beautiful day, lovely, not a cloud in the sky. And look, it was going really, really well, and I mean this, so going so well until the third ball of the innings. Unfortunately, we lost the wicket of young Tommy Plant, and it just started to go pear-shaped from there. And I remember at the start of the Nathan Bracken over, I looked up the scoreboard and we were 7 for 24. And at the end of the Nathan Bracken over, we were 9 for 24. And it was just, oh, man. And if it wasn't for, as it turned out to be, a pretty darn good partnership for the last wicket between Dan Cullen and Paul Roaf of Five, we wouldn't have looked like making 29, but that's what we got. And, as you boys know, you know, first class cricket, that's not great. And, you know, I'd sat and thought, and you know, and I thought, oh man, we're having an ordinary day. And I remember late on day one when the New South Wales opening bat, Phil Jarks, turned one off his hip off the bowling of Mark Cleary down a backward square just for a single to bring up his 200. And I thought, oh dear, we are not having a good day at all. And you know, at the end of the day, you know, you blokes are in leadership. You've got a responsibility to come up with a positive. And I had these poor little fellas sitting there in front of me, and you know, as coach, I've got to come up with a positive. And I'm about to speak to them, and they were little forlorn fellas, as I say. And there was a knock at our dressing room door at the Sydney Cricket Ground visitors' room. I went over and answered it. It was David Gilbert, the chief exec cricket New South Wales. And you, Liz, and he said, "Go, how's your day going, Flipper?" Yeah, well, I said, "Well, how do you reckon my day's going?" You know, and he said, "Well, look, before you get started, we've got a bit of an issue." I said, "Oh, well, what's that?" He said, "Well, the people from ASDA are here, the Australian Sports Drug Agency." I said, "Yeah, why is that?" He said, "Well, they're here to test your players for performance enhancing substances." I said, "We made 29. Do you think that's necessary?" And you know, and I do mean this. You know, I was so proud we got the results back negative. None have been guilty of taking performance enhancing in us putting together the 29. But as I said, you know, you've got to, at the end of the day, you've got to, and you know, by the time that was all done, I looked at these poor little fellas and said, "Look, I've got to come up with a positive." And I've been involved in first class cricket now for 20 years, and I'm positive that's the worst effort batting I've ever seen in my life. And yeah, as a result, I don't do the coaching anymore. I just look forward to having a beer with Blue. Yeah, fantastic. See you, boys. Thanks. Great to chat.
Thanks for coming on.
Sign a Stewie McGill for us too, Flip. Brilliant. A beer with Flipper.
Well, yeah, he was part of a beer with Bluey.
That
so
is,
he was good enough to come on.
That?
Well, it wasn't our finest moment, but I tell you it wasn't. I didn't enjoy either. It was at the end of the first day.
Oh, hang on, mate. It's going to take a call.
Second top score with four.
Hello.
Jars.
Yeah, get me.
Yeah, it's the Rush Hour boys.
Who?
Is Bluey still talking?
It is now time for It's a Big Weekend Four. These boys are going to finish that sentence based purely on their intellect, their insight, and what they've just read online.
Thanks, Haydo.
Well, it's a huge weekend for the Collingwood Football Club and Nathan Buckley, isn't it? Let's be honest. They've had
why do you keep going down that path about Nathan Buckley?
I mean, it's got to
be under siege.
I think if North Melbourne are the joke of the competition at the moment.
Oh,
we know
that's
where they
a bit
are.
Harsh.
Well,
no,
they
no,
are.
No. They were very competitive last week against Burns Mob. Don't call them a joke.
One
you
game.
Can't call them a joke. They're a rebuild.
North Melbourne.
They're a rebuild. Give them some respect. You can't call them a joke.
Are you listening to this?
No, jeez. Well, you can't. No, Burn, you can't say that. I never say that about a footy club. I know I'm critical. Well, but they're not a joke. They're rebuilding. And they were competitive against Shawn Mob.
They were. They're up 19 points at half time, Jazz.
How do
and
you
they
have
went
an
down
opinion?
By 30-odd points. So, anyway, we know that North Melbourne are struggling. But Collingwood are struggling as well, and we all know the speculation around Nathan Buckley. But if they lose to North Melbourne this weekend, I reckon that's it. I reckon that's it for Bucks.
How's it going?
Can we quote you on that?
Yep.
Oh. Well, he's quoted. Bernie Vince. It's a big weekend for...
Well, I think it's a big weekend for the Adelaide Footy Club. We don't have to go too far. They've lost the last three in a row after being or sitting up the top four. I know they had a bit of an easy run early on. They've got a big 4 weeks coming up, but it's a showdown. I feel like, and it's an away showdown. So they've got to create their own energy, I want to get them back to that round one clash. I want them playing like that. I want them to take on the opposition, knock them over, gang tackling. Their pressure was outstanding. And I just want to see a bit more of that because I haven't seen that the last few weeks. And they got absolutely belted in the midfield last week. And hopefully Rory Sloane comes up to play. He gets the tick with that eye. And he'll lead the charge in there, no doubt. But I just want these young kids to go back to crashing in. And remember when we interviewed Matty Nix just before round one? He said, they will bring effort every week. And I feel like they've just wavered a little bit, especially last week was terrible. And even the week before in the last quarter when a game was there for the taking, didn't see it. So I just want to see four quarters of effort. If they go down and they bring effort, Doesn't worry me, but I just need to see him back in the fight.
Yep. Andrew Jarman, it is a big weekend for...
Shane McAdam from the Adelaide Crows.
Will he play, though?
I don't care. If he doesn't play, they've made the right decision.
Yep.
I think they'll back him in again. I think they'll give him one more opportunity in a showdown.
Yep.
Because they believe in his talent. But it's a big weekend for Shane McAdam to deliver. The club's done everything by the book to get this young lad to this level of football. All right? He can play. He can seriously play some serious football. But do not go into a game of football and not lay one tackle inside forward 50. Yep. That is your role. Byrne?
I'm with you.
So that's a mindset. That is a fair dinkum attitude.
Yep.
So Shane McAdam, the spotlight, my spotlight, the big fat spotlight is on Shane McAdam to produce what we know, and I never use the word potential, the ability that this young man has at this level. So turn it on, young man. I'll look forward to apologising you next week after a very good game.
You know what they say?
What's that?
Their spotlights look like their owners.
Ooh. Jazz doesn't get that, do you, mate?
Big fat one.
Jazz, explain that quote.
He just got it.
It's a rush out.
Triple M.
I need to be honest, and I need to put my hand up, and sometimes you just need to be honest and get things off your chest.
Oh, here we go. Ooh.
And I know I've clipped a few people in the past for this, but I just need to let you know that I've fallen for something.
Yeah.
You've fallen for something.
Here we go.
So any guesses or...
You've fallen for something.
Well,
I probably worded that wrong. I've been sort of sucked in by something.
Right. Oh. And you got exposed.
Oh.
Is it good or bad?
Is it television?
Yeah.
Big Brother.
Yeah.
Oh, no!
We've only got one TV in the house.
One TV.
Abby
you got a
loves
phone?
All that stuff. No, I'm going to tell you what I did with my phone after this. And it's a good thing. But... She's into the Big Brother, right? Mm. So there's nothing else I can do unless I go for a walk at 8:30 at night or whatever time it comes on, or go because I don't want to.
Getting a bit of pudding on your gut.
Sit there and
what about Fox Go?
Yeah,
on your phone.
Yeah, what about that?
I want to look off a screen that big.
Well,
you'd be used to looking down and things like that. But.
So you're now watching Big Brother.
So I've been. I watched an episode and I thought this is terrible shit. Same thing.
Yeah.
The second time I was like. Terrible shit. Oh, yeah. I didn't mind that bit. Terrible shit. That wasn't too bad, and that wasn't too bad.
In the end, I'm starting
to know who people are and what they do. And I'm really concerned about my future now.
Yeah.
What future?
My head's. Yeah, exactly.
What future?
Yeah. No, I don't think I have the one old, after this.
Yeah, you got sucked in by the old bait.
Mm.
And then you nibbled at it.
What I didn't realise on that show is there's a challenge or a, I think it's called a challenge, isn't it a challenge? A nomination challenge.
So they
have all these challenges that, it reminded me of sometimes of footy camps, like of going against each other. You got to hold bars up for as long as you can until you drop it and things like this. So it actually has got a bit of competitiveness to it. I didn't realise that Big Brother had that. I thought it was just a... pack of wankers.
They changed that last year. It's a little bit half Survivor, half...
It is a bit like challenges. Yeah, and you just told me you didn't watch it. Now you know all about what happened last year compared to this year.
Because it's Catherine's favourite show.
Yeah, watch it with her.
Well, that's what I have to do.
You're as bad as he is.
And I said to be honest and put your hand up.
I am putting my hand up.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself for both of you.
You were going, nah. And then you go, well, that changed this year because 2 years ago they did that, then they changed it to that, and this year now they're doing that. I don't watch it.
You know what? Did you watch last night?
Yeah, I did.
I'm dirty with Big Brother because they're changing the rules.
Yeah.
Like, the people that get evicted,
what about Danny?
They're staying in the roof.
Yeah, Danny.
And then they get...
He's got his little squad together and now they're all singing in the roof then just bagging him.
Jars, it's not fair, they're paying for money.
Sorry, boys.
Jars has completely checked out. He's nowhere near the microphone.
Jars, let me tell you what happened. So two got evicted and they meant to go home, but they said, nah, this is Big Brother. You're not finished yet. And they go up in the attic and they look down and they can tell people they want to tell from the attic down into the, what's that room called? They go and speak in?
The diary room.
Diary room. Yeah.
Yeah, do you know, so Nick Benton played some cricket played for South Australia. That's the only reason I'm watching it, really.
He played for Woodville too.
Yeah. Why don't you just get a little glass of Chardonnay
and he loves painting as well.
Why don't you get a bottle of peanuts and go and watch
champagne.
It together?
Yeah, let's have a champagne, boy.
This is embarrassing.
Just shut Jars down. We don't need him.
You don't need him. So who's your favourite? Do we?
Danny?
No, Nick.
Yeah, oh yeah. Benton. Well, Danny, they're right. They're like that. Yeah,
no, Danny's hilarious.
Yeah, how funny is he? Actually, he reminds me of Jars, but without the funny bit. I'm not watching after Danny's out anyway because he's entertaining.
He is very good.
Mm. Can we just keep it down, boys? Jars is on the phone.
And I thought, oh dear, we are not having a good day at all. And you know, at the end of the day, you know, you've
it's the rush.
Oh, he's rang Flipper back, has he?
Now, boys, people can send us in texts if they want, and we've got one from Robert in Norwood. Nice. What is the worst present a teammate has ever gotten you?
It's not bad.
That is a very good question, considering that you lot have some very good friends.
I can't remember a teammate ever giving me a present, to be honest.
Nah, you know what we used to do? We used to have, what's it called, Kris Kringle, or you'd pull a name out of the hat.
Yep. Yeah.
And I'd always get... Because my rig's not the best, so I'd always get like one of those aprons with like a rig on it.
Yeah. I've got one of those.
Yeah, that's
I've got one of those.
Oh, we should wear it one
or
day.
A packet of dingers, or
it'll just be every year. You know, it's funny, Nathan Bassett, who he just he just like to be a little bit natural under the arms. He'd get cans of deodorant.
Oh, really?
A little bit of feedback.
Some leading teams feedback.
Oh, jeez. What about you, Jars?
Mods bought me a packet of thongs.
Like ones on your feet or?
No, ones you wear.
Oh, did you wear?
Mate. He gave me a packet of thongs.
You didn't answer my question.
No, not on your feet. The ones you wear on your plums.
Oh, did you? Mm. Did you wear it? You still got them?
No.
That would dead set cut you in half if you ever wore one.
I wore a thong. It would split me, would it?
It'd be like a bandsaw.
And it'd just be working its way.
A bandsaw. Jeez.
Like cutting up a pig.
Oh.
He got me the size small too.
They went down to treated Henley. Jars, you're right, mate. Or you were so up at the start of the show, and now you've just kind of
I'm up and about. I'm up and about, Haydo, because we're going into our next segment, which I love, Burns Fun Facts. But can I say a shout out to all the lovely mums out there for Mother's Day this Sunday? Because we're not on air tomorrow.
No, but you're on Saturday.
Yeah, well, I don't care. I want to say it twice. So.
God,
happy Mother's Day to all the mums.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for Bernie Fitz's super exciting, ultra mega important, interesting, bizarre final fact.
I think that was a bit of feedback for you.
So happy Mother's Day.
Well done.
To my dear mother, God bless her soul, and all the mums out there and all the families that have lost their... They're lovely.
Actually, I'm just going to wish everyone a Merry Christmas too.
Yeah, that's right.
That's coming
Happy
up.
Happy New Year 2022, everyone. Yeah. Thanks for being on. Blue.
And happy Father's Day for September, early September.
Yeah. Happy 70th too, Jazz. How long's that? Hey, first. Haydo's fallen over. Get up, mate.
All right. Well, fun facts you got for us that won't educate us.
Got a serious fact to start with.
Mm-hmm.
Adelaide's head of performance, Matt Haas, is departing the football club. He's accepted a role with the Queensland Academy of Sport. So his role will be to oversee the physical performance of Olympic-bound athletes. Right. So a good opportunity. But
old news.
It was this morning that came
out. It's old news. Everyone knew about that months ago.
Well, it came out this morning. He only notified the club.
Is that your fun fact?
He notified the club yesterday.
It's Matty Haas, not Haas.
It's Haas. I've asked him.
No, you haven't. Who's replacing him then?
Well, that's the big question. Yeah. There's a few rumours going around.
What's the rumours?
You said...
I didn't say...
I haven't heard any. But I just heard there's a few getting around.
Burge.
Yes.
Scotty Burgess.
Scotty.
What's his first Scotty?
Darren, I think it's
you idiot. Jars's mail never wrong. Ash Barty and Rafa Nadal, I'll tell you right now, they'll win the Australian Open, men's and women,
St Kilda in the grand final. Do we have to go through? Port won't lose again.
All right. So the Crows will have Darren Burgess next year as their high.
Oh, that's what you think.
Okay. And it won't be this year. It'll be an interim bloke.
All right.
Okay.
Interim.
What do you got, young Burn?
Craig. Good again, Craig. Right. On this day, I've got a couple of good ones today.
On this day.
Do you know today's officially
6th of May?
The no diet day, Jacks.
So yeah, I did know
a little
that.
Spell off your diet that you're on. Yeah. You're on a diet.
So I've got today off.
You got today off.
That's Jars every day, isn't it?
Well, he's on and off and he's in and he's out diets. I don't know if he's... What are you currently at the moment? Because you change, you go sort of vegan and then you...
I'm not a vegan. Well, Freddie downstairs at Canetto gave us a burger and I've gone off meat.
Didn't even touch the sides.
Actually, I don't eat meat and then next thing it's gone.
We were discussing your diet yesterday and we said that you were the only one that didn't know you were on a diet. We all... thought you're on a diet and you the
you tell everyone then you forget. Hey, also also on this day,
yes,
Jazz,
Gregory Byrne.
Sorry. In 1840,
a long time ago.
That was
the
Napoleon.
World's first adhesive postage stamp was used in the public postal system.
Right. Did they lick them back then?
Of course they did.
Back in 1840.
Of course they
licked the stamp back in 1840.
Yeah, they had
everyone had tongues back
and
then
saliva.
As well.
Serious? George Costanza's wife died in that Seinfeld show because she was licking all the envelopes.
Not a documentary, Seinfeld's just a...
Yeah. Hey, I've got a cracker to leave you into the weekend, right?
Yep.
Oh, IKEA.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if any of you can come up why it's called IKEA.
You're just mumbly with your words.
It's going all right. Yeah. IKEA. I didn't notice.
And if you can come up with why it's called IKEA, I'll strip down and do a whole lap of this.
Naked.
Yes,
in this
naked.
Building, right. 13th floor.
I'm not even going to try. Because I don't want to see you naked, but it'll be too hard.
I'll let you see me naked anyway, as a bonus.
Guys, here we go.
Just for having
I'm
going to
get down the training. Let's go. Let's wrap it up.
IKEA stands for Ingvar Kamprad Elmtard Angunnar. Do you know why?
I thought so.
It's a family name. It's a family business name.
It's sort of along those lines.
All right. I'll strip down, Burn.
And the last bird out of 10 days almost gone.
So, it's the founder's name, all these words put together. The founder's name, the farm where he grew up, and his hometown. That's all the initials
of
IKEA.
What country?
Sweden.
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 Now, I was right.
Not I was really,
Hang on. If you listen to what I said.
I said if you get the whole thing right.
You got part of it right.
Yeah.
So you only get to see
you didn't say
you got to strip down somewhere.
No, you only got a little bit right, so he might pull and pop an agate out the side, and that's it.
It'd be small. Wouldn't be able to find it.
Here you go, hang on.
Oh! don't you dare.
That's only one.
That was your big toe, you chunky. See you tomorrow. I'll see you next week.
Happy Mother's Day.
Tomorrow.
Happy
I'll see you tomorrow. Yeah. Wish them all a happy Mother's Day again.
Put it back in, you just caught Bluey's leg.
Don't.